tell you about Public Square. There are several lines that meet other edges.
The youth of this country who are already in a disillusioned, disenchanted state will be encouraged.
Where we talk about the fine margins, sometimes with black, white, and glory.
It's also informed by the need to save costs and reduce legislative time.
Then there are the actors right at the center, coming through political processes, which could be dramatic.
To the extent of this impeachment, if Parliament does not raise this money.
And controversial.
If driving through the roads is a getting the macabre, compatibility is that of government.
And there's you to help connect the dots from the top to the bottom. Join Rotimi Sankore and Arogo Obu at the Public Square every Friday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. 99.3 Nigeria Info.
Ladies and gentlemen,
this is the Public Square.
And Shaku Maku, everyone. It's a brilliant Friday afternoon in the city of Lagos, and you're on to the Public Square. And you know the way we do it every other week when we have the distinguished Ayobe step in for ideas, which opens the square. And Ayo, great to have you join us and open the square this afternoon.
Good afternoon, Aro, and good afternoon to all the listeners. It is your fortnightly frightener.
And what a week this has been. A week of plenty of drama and crisis with the energy sector. We've never had it like this in a long while. Well, it's happened before, but not this way. Every other week we've had wahala happening in the energy sector. And appears we're going to deal with this a lot. We already have former executive secretary of NATI on standby, Ayo.
Yeah, and indeed, Amaro, as you said, it's been a week, and quite frankly, we seem to have in the last week we seem to have entered a perfect storm where the problems relating to energy were hitting us in Nigeria from all sides. I mean, we had the continued fuel shortage, which we thought was just due to one or two tankers of bad petrol, the high cost of diesel because Russia and Ukraine, aviation fuel. And then the collapse of the national grid, which made the public electricity supply become the backup to individual power generation efforts. And as you said, our guest today is a man who is thoroughly steeped in the accountability issue, particularly when it comes to extractive industries. He's also the author of the widely acclaimed book, The Arc of the Possible, which is an account of his time as the executive secretary of the Nigerian Extractive Transparency Nigerian Extractive Industries Transparency Initiative. I'm only going to say it once, otherwise it's NAITI. That is none other than Waziri Adio. Waziri, you are welcome to Ideas.
Thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for honoring our invitation. Well, I stands for integrity, D stands for democracy, E stands for ethics, and A for accountability. And what we're focusing on in today's program is A for accountability. I mean, Waziri, who do we hold accountable for this situation? I mean, I would say that I subscribe to the school of thought that says you shouldn't ascribe to malice or deliberate action what can be explained by incompetence. But even incompetence has its origins. Should there be a system to ensure that all these disasters don't strike us at once? If not, why not?
Okay, thanks again. I think the way everything has come together now should give us a reason for pause, and is actually bringing many contradictions in the energy sector to the fore. Nigeria, as you know, is well endowed. We should be one of the richest in terms of energy production and consumption, but we are not. And all of a sudden, this came to the open. So, in terms of who should be held accountable, there are different things at play. So, there are different actors at different at different points of the landscape. If you are looking at the poor queues, the government is the main importer of petrol through NNPC now, so government takes the full responsibility for that. For the high cost of aviation fuel and diesel, that part of our hands that has to go to, you know, what is happening globally in terms of the price of crude oil. Mm-hmm. The collapse of the, irregular electricity supply, and also the collapse of the grid, that's also a responsibility that has to be shouldered by government, but also by the actors in the electricity value chain. You have the generation companies, you have the distribution companies, and you also have the transmission company, which is owned by government. Mm. But, there are so many things that are not working well. We are not generating enough electricity. We don't have the capacity to transmit or to wheel all the electricity that we can generate. And even when the ones that are given to the discos to distribute, there are issues around that. But ultimately, government has to take responsibility for that. Should there be a system in place to anticipate things like this? Yes, there should be. I'm not too sure, because the way government is configured as a whole, you have something happening in the petroleum sector, you have something happening in the gas sector, you have something happening in the electricity sector. There are linkages, but the way government is that people operate in silos. There should be a system to see the linkages, to anticipate what can go wrong. If something goes wrong in one end, what implications it will have for the other end, and all of that. If there is, I'm not aware, but this is the reason why we should be thinking about stuff.
Go ahead.
We need to, not just anticipate things that can go wrong, but also have the mechanism for rapid response.
Yeah.
So that we can limit the damage to individuals and to businesses and to the country.
Mm. I mean, Masiri, it was interesting when you said that that the different sectors, it's as if they are acting in silos. That is to say that they act as though they're only concerned with their own specific area. And isn't this a case for the need for joined up government, as I like to call it, JUG, that if you, you cannot act in that silo, you have to be aware of the impact that what you do or don't do has on other sectors, because you may say, well, electricity generation is a silo on its own, but when people cannot get electricity, then they turn to the fuel sector. Either they have diesel generators or they have petrol generators, and they rely on those. So that there is this need for joined up government. I mean, is there something that we can do? We hear about strategic reserves in terms of other commodities, could be foodstuffs and so on. But when it comes to energy, do we have any strategic reserve? NNPC will tell us that they have 30 days of supply and so on and so forth. It doesn't seem as though we have any mechanism for storing electric power. What do we need to do to fix these things?
Okay, there are so many things that we need to do. Yes, I'm also a big advocate of joined up government. Somebody needs to see the big picture and should be able to see the linkages between the different sectors.
I mean, is there a ministry that, or any particular person in government that has that responsibility?
There are places where such coordination should be happening. The Ministry of Finance and National Planning. There are also some coordination. There's also some coordination that should be happening in the office of the VP. And that's also where you have what you should be using the Federal Executive Council for.
Yeah.
Not just for it should be a forum for coordination, for problem solving, for having big picture, and for people bringing different perspectives to see how. Basically, what we need to ensure is that we are more secure in terms of energy as a country. And what has happened has exposed our vulnerabilities, and we need to take that more seriously. We have work to do in different domains. We need to ensure availability. We need to ensure that we have provision for emergency, an emergency response. We need to also address issues around pricing. Are we pricing things the way they should be priced? The issue of subsidy, and also the issue of adequacy. Let's take electricity, for example. We generate electricity mainly through hydro and thermal. So we have some challenges, with both now, vandalism with the gas infrastructure and some gas infrastructure that's used for maintenance. Then you have the water level drop, but what are we doing with the other sources of electricity? Non-renewable, including even nuclear, though I know that some people have anxieties around that.
Yeah.
We also need to have a mechanism for protecting energy assets.
What do you mean by that?
Yeah, like one of the reasons why we have this problem with electricity generation is that people are vandalizing some gas, pipelines supplying gas to some, generating plants.
Yeah.
Also, I'm sure you are aware there's a lot of theft going on of our oil now, almost at an industrial level. And also, there's also electricity theft itself. So when
you say electricity theft, is that when it gets to the consumer or when it's being generated?
No, when it gets to the consumer. We need to look at all these things in which, all these ways in which all these leakages happen.
Mm-hmm.
I need to have a way, of protecting them. And also responding to shocks, things will go wrong.
Cushion that we have or we don't have. Because as you say, things will go wrong, but are we planning? We always talk about contingency, but are we actually planning for the unexpected?
Well, I hope we do, what this crisis has also shown us is that we need to review whatever plans we have in place and make them more, up to scratch.
I should also ask you, because a lot of this revolves around the oil and gas industry, which, as far as Nigerians are concerned, is in complete disarray, frankly, at the service side. And one thing that I was going to ask you before you properly advised me was why the Petroleum Industry Act hasn't addressed these problems, and if it and will it be able to when the time comes?
Yeah, the PIA should make some difference. I hope that we didn't leave it for too late. To find August last year, and we are also aware that the takeoff was also, suspended for 18 months. Maybe the regulation part, maybe the whole, PIA and all of that, So this is also one of the things we need to be addressing about, policy consistency, being faithful to laws and regulations, and stuff like that.
Well, so, policy consistency jams politics, apparently.
Yeah, very, very important.
I mean, whether it's been argued that the reason why in this particular perfect storm we've all been thrown into such disarray by the combined lack of power, electricity and fuel is that we've enjoyed 7 fat years in which we hardly saw, at least though we saw power problems, we did not see the collapse of the national grid at the same time as we were having these problems with fuel. And does the reemergence say anything about the direction in which we are traveling? Should we get ready for 7 lean years? Or do we treat this bad patch as a bump in the road to the sunlit uplands? What do you think?
Yeah, I will rather be optimistic, but optimistic in a careful way.
T's and C's.
I think the authorities that have been put in place that would improve energy, supply. In the electricity sector, a lot is going on, as you are aware. There's something that government is doing with Siemens for the grid, and also for capacity building, for, you know, for the discos, you know, the storm, for post on World Bank, you know, for position of lead train, you know, and capacity building for the discos and all of that. You know, there are some...
and in the oil sector, there is also two...
PIA, you know, and all of that, you know. So, the it's not as I think we should see this as a bump in the road.
Okay.
But at the same time, there are some things we need to pay attention to. Do we have a present structure that will attract investment? And beyond investment, we need to attract the right kind of investor.
Okay.
Because, you know, like the electricity sector, for example, people think, oh, once you pay the cost reflective tariff, everything will be okay. But we have seen that, you know, it's not just the tariff. You know, do you have the capacity to generate enough for the need and size of this country? Do you have the capacity to transmit that? And do the discos also have the capacity, you know, to invest and to run, you know, and to run their companies efficiently? So we need to
You're asking some very pertinent questions, and I think that what we can see is that even if we may be in the right direction of travel, if we don't pay attention to getting the right answers to those questions, we may find that the sunlit up plans are still very far off on the horizon. I want to thank you very much for coming on to the program and giving us the benefit of your insight into these matters.
Thank you so much. It's my pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you, Azimi.
Yes, ma'am.
All right, and a brilliant conversation there, Ayo. And I'm sure that when we get into a public square also too, this will form the basis of a lot of discussions we're having with our other two resource persons.
Oh, great. Okay. Well, I have to love you and leave you. And to the listeners as well, thank you so much for always staying with us and being part of our program.
Absolutely. Have a lovely weekend, Ayo.
I wish you the same.
All right.